Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Monica Packer from About Progress, and you are listening to The Messy Middle, a monthly series where I share some of my own messy middle so you can see what progress looks like for a real woman in real time. My favorite meme of all time has to do with May, Justin Timberlake, and it's gonna be May. We all know it, right? I'm excited. It's May, my friends, and I hope you are too. It's finally beginning to resemble spring here in Utah after a very long winter, and including a postpartum winter, which was kind of tricky, but also good because we got to just hunker down. Now, in these messy middle episodes, I get to share about my own messy middle. So let's start with what's happening around here. I would say that April absolutely flew by, and we had some great things that happened. Most recently, we went to St. George the week before the last week of April. We were there for 5 days, and it was just wonderful. If you haven't heard of St. George, it's in southern Utah. Just picture a lot of red rocks and red sand, and it's a lot hotter there. It's the perfect temperature when we were there. It was in the 70s most of the time. So we just spent our time mostly going on small hikes around St. George and going downtown. We went to the Children's Museum for the first time, and I loved it. And I got to meet one of our listeners. Her name is Erica, so shout out to Erica. And we went to a Ninja Warrior camp, park one day, Zion Park another, and to this great swimming spot they've got. And I'm trying to remember what the name of it is, and I can't. So it was really, really great. It just felt so good to have fun again as a family. If you are new here, our focus on having fun as a family really did help heal our family after a couple really tough years. And we took that on last year, and we're trying to carry that over now. And this kind of felt like our first dipping the toes back into the water of having fun as a family. So I loved it. It was so needed. And then the week after, it was my second child. It was his birthday, his 10th birthday. And I got to tell you that I am not a party thrower naturally. And this is something I finally kind of flipped on. Initially, I gave my oldest, she had a first birthday party and a third birthday party. And then I was like, I am not doing this anymore until they turn 8 years old. And then I'll do it from, 8 to 18 every other year. I've actually flipped on that this past year. I want to embrace, the kids love birthday parties no matter what they are, and we're going to do them from 4 to 8, and then every other year just having friends come over to hang out kind of party. But since my oldest two didn't get in on the action, and my third actually, he kind of gets half and half, we are going to throw a party for them every year or every other year. And when I say party, I mean what happened is we invited 10 of his classmates. I can't do the whole class. I just couldn't, not with a newborn still. And they came over to our home and they played tag in our backyard. It's called revenge tag. I don't know what it is exactly, but my son came up with it. We had cake, ice cream, presents, and then they went back outside to play Foursquare, which was so fun that came back, and another kind of outdoor game. And that was it. It was so wonderful though. He was so pleased, and it was great to finally give him a birthday, his first real friend birthday party, and he turned 10. So I'm really sorry. COVID kind of interfered with that too. We did have some cousin parties in there though. So that was part of what happened. And then two things I started early on in April, I started pelvic floor therapy. Now this is my fifth kid. I really wish that my OBs had said from my first child on that this is something you should do. I know many parts of Europe, if not all of Europe, it's a standard practice that after a woman delivers a child and after recovery, she goes into pelvic floor therapy. After my third, about maybe 9 months after I had him, that's when I realized I had some major pelvic floor issues, but it was mostly due to me over-exercising and way too soon into my recovery because I thought I was feeling good. So learn from me, friends. Take it really easy, not just the first 6 weeks, as long as you need it. And then go to pelvic floor therapy. And if you are like, you know, well past postpartum times, I've heard some from so many women who they said it's helped them in indescribable ways. There's many things pelvic floor therapy helps with, and I'm not going to make this education on that. Maybe we'll do a whole episode, but I started it and I'm proud of myself for doing it because it's definitely outside of my comfort zone. And the second thing I started, just this is my only second day into it, I started a babysitter. So this is a babysitter we had last summer. And this summer, we could only have her for the month of May and June because she's going to go on a mission for our religious faith. And we're just going to try it. And last year she babysat all four kids, maybe 9 to 12 hours a week. So I could work in the early afternoons. And now what she's doing is she's doing the early afternoon for just my youngest two. So she can, you know, we can figure out if a baby is even going to work with her. And when all kids are out of school, I don't know what we're going to do. We got to figure that out. No matter what, if she babysits all of them for even 3 hours, she's going to get paid more. Right now we're starting, and I think this is actually all I plan to do, is 3 times a week, 3 hours each time. And right now I have like 20 minutes left of my third hour. And I am telling you, it is amazing what I can do in like a couple hours. I am so grateful for this time. And I think it's starting to work with the baby. She and I were both a little worried about it because she hadn't babysat babies really in the past. So she's been a good sport. We've been doing training. I come down and I check on them. I try to show her how to do different things and all of that. And I think so far it's working. And my five-year-old's in heaven because he gets someone to play board games and card games with him for the whole afternoon. So it's been great. Before I go into the next segment, I'll share some highs and lows. I think the first high, well, the big high I want to share is our first full day in St. George. It was pretty casual since we got in very late at night. Brad had to be out of town the day we were supposed to drive down, so we ended up getting into St. George really late, like 1:30 in the morning. We just really took it easy that first day, and all I did is just, I took the kids to the Children's Museum and we got like a treat before, and that was not even till the afternoon, and then we came home and we had dinner, and then I went and played pickleball with my now 10-year-old, and we ended the night with some ice cream and watching the British Bake Off Junior edition, which is so fun. I highly recommend it. And it felt like the most perfect, wonderful day where I finally really felt like I could do it. Like I can be a mom now to all these kids and we can have fun again together. And I don't feel as much like I'm in fight or flight mode. A low, I would say, from this month. Sorry, sometimes my voice doesn't work. I feel like my finger that I shared an episode about earlier this week, I talked about scar tissue. It's like still not working well. And I've been doing the exercises I was supposed to do to work through that scar tissue, and it's just not bending. And I did physical therapy this week and she showed me some more things to do. And it is almost comical how little I can bend my finger after like a month of really working hard on it. So I'm a little worried that I might need another operation to get the scar tissue removed, which I'm really hoping to avoid. So wish me luck. Hopefully with the other exercises and me being really diligent, I can get there. Next up, let's do a DSL update. I actually made more progress with my DSL this month in ways I'm really excited about. Two of them involve sourdough. One of my things on my do something list is to make some new recipes with my sourdough starter. I made a coffee cake that actually didn't turn out because I did it wrong, but it still tasted really good. I shared a reel on that on my Instagram feed if you want to go check that out. And I also made roti, and that's like an Indian flatbread, to go with some butter chicken I made, which was really delicious. And then another thing that involved sourdough was I went through with my first creativity challenge and I did painted sourdough. I just barely published a reel on that by the time this airs too, which I'm really excited to share with you. It was like not a victory. It was just okay. But I did my second round of it too. And spoiler alert, it turned out much better too. So I'm excited to keep painting sourdough and give them as gifts. Like one of my friends just had a baby and in my neighborhood. So I'm just going to drop off some painted sourdough for her tonight. It's so fun. Another item on our do something list is to go on 3 trips in Utah as a family. So we knocked our first one out by going to St. George. For this next month, what's coming up for my Do Something list is my next creativity challenge, which I have decided is going to be building garden boxes. And I love that one because it's a little outside of the box, pun intended, in terms of creativity. Like, it's not a fine art thing, right? So I'm very excited to try that out. I'm also very nervous. I've gone in deep dives with Pinterest, and I now just need to do some math on how much wood to buy, which is totally not my strong suit. I might need my husband to help me there, and then I'm just going to go for it. Some other things I'm prioritizing. Guys, I know that I can't talk as well. I'm going to get back into this, I promise. Another thing that I'm going to be prioritizing is working on seeing if I can play the piano, because one of my items is to learn some new songs on the piano. So I haven't even gone to our basement where our piano is and tried it out with my finger because I've been a little worried. And two more things. Next week, I'm getting back into my hiking club, which is really, I could just ask one friend at a time to go with me on a hike once a week or once every other week. And the final thing I want to prioritize is the hand lettering quote. I wanted to do one a month. I have so far done nothing because I don't even sit down to hand letter at all. So that's actually a habit I need to work on. And speaking of habits, let's do the next segment, Make It a Habit. This is where I share about habits that are going well and habits that are not going so well. Last month, I shared with you that I wanted to start a new nighttime routine with my kids and getting in the habit of reading to them aloud before bed. So here is a report. We did it for 3 days and then stopped. And I know the problem. The problem is that I started with Anne of Green Gables. And for someone who is having a hard time speaking coherently right now because my brain is all in jumbles, it is a really hard book to read aloud, and my kids were following along okay, but that was just a problem. And then we went out of town, and then I forgot to start again. So we are going back to my when-then pairing with this habit of when my kids are eating their treats or their snack at night, whatever they want there, then I will read a page from a book. And I'm going to go in my basement after I record this, and I'm going to choose a book that's fun and light and shorter and easier to read, so that way we can get in the habit again. And so that was kind of like a not going so well habit, to be honest. I'm just going to share another one that I would like to work on is day planning again at night. My when-then pairing is similar to, you know, nighttime stuffs, but my when-then pairing is when my alarm goes off to stop work, which is usually 9 o'clock at night, and then I'll day plan. But I haven't been working as much at night because I'm just trying to get a baby to bed and all the kids to bed, and then finally getting around to other things I need to do in the house. So I've got to come up with a new when-then pairing, and I'll report in on that, as well as a hand lettering habit, which I think just might need to be on a Sunday. So getting some when-then pairings, I think, is going to help a lot with both of those. And I look forward to sharing my progress, or even my lack thereof, next month. Our next segment is What I'm Loving Lately. I have been loving this olive oil cake from Female Foodie. She has a blog. She's also on Instagram, but just Google olive oil cake from Female Foodie. I'll give you a few tips in a second, but let me describe this cake. It sounds really weird because the fat base is olive oil, and you're going to think that will taste like a really olive oily cake, but it doesn't. It's like really moist and like has this like depth and complex flavor, but it's so tasty because there's also browned butter frosting on top. And my mouth is watering right now, and I have one more slice to eat tonight that I can't wait to have my me time and eat that. So this is a copycat recipe of a local bakery called Tooley's Bakery and their olive oil cake. And I would say it's spot on. I've had a slice from the actual bakery, and I think this is just as good. A few tips though, because I've had one friend report in that her oil like spilled all out while it was baking. And my sister said her cake was not good, but we think it's because she used like expensive olive oil. Brooke from Female Foodie says Costco's olive oil is actually really good, and that's what I used, and it was perfect. So you can use Costco olive oil, but make sure it's fresh, which I did. The next thing I would suggest is make sure all your ingredients are room temperature. I think that's why my cake didn't split and the oil didn't leak out like my friends did. And the third thing I would say is use parchment paper inside your springboard pan. And I also put a cookie sheet underneath just in case there was any leakage. I still didn't have any, and no oil spilled out, and the cake batter didn't, but that was probably because of the parchment. So there's some what I'm loving lately of in terms of baking. But the next thing I'll say I'm loving is I have been rereading the book Burnout by the Nagoski sisters. We had Amelia Nagoski come on the show to talk about that book specifically. But because of a secret project I can tell you about in August, I think, I have been rereading it and just loving it. I listened to it before, but having it in hand, I actually recommend for this book because they're just so funny, but also so informative. It's an easy, but really life-changing read. It will teach you about the stress cycle and how to complete it. And it's giving me a lot to think about and to do better on as well. That's what I'm loving lately. Next up, let's do On My Mind. This is our final segment. Right now, what's on my mind is feeling that little bit of torn inside me. You're going to hear an episode next week where I talk to Rachel Nielsen about motherhood. And you'll hear me share in the episode that I kind of feel like I'm in this season of, you know, whereas before when my third was at this, like around 6 months old, is when I was like, I need more ambition outside of motherhood to feel more at home in motherhood. And I say this in the episode, so kind of a spoiler there, but I am kind of almost feeling the reverse now. I'm kind of feeling like pulling back. Now, the good news is that means the podcast is not going anywhere. But the hard news is I'm still kind of torn on what that may look like. I don't really actually make a lot of money, if at all, through the podcast itself. The money I make through the sponsors you hear on the show largely just cover my expenses. Podcasting gets pretty expensive at a certain point because of all the other, moving parts that you have that go with it in order to make money. So that's kind of a long way of me saying, I'm not really sure what the fall is going to look like after this babysitter. And she goes, she goes on her mission in July. So I'm trying to decide, do I get another babysitter or do I just try to work ahead right now? So I have a couple months to, not feel like I'm under the fire hose or I'm not under like a fire alarm rather of trying to get things done. I'm just feeling a little torn. Half of me really wants to do what I had planned and launch my coaching program in the fall. Another half of me isn't so sure that's going to be possible. And half of me wants to just not have a babysitter and going from July onward and just really embrace this time. And the other half of me knows that this is a big part of my mental sanity is having a form of fulfillment and an outlet and time to do it. So I'm feeling torn and I don't have the answers yet. I will say I'm proud of myself because I actually did plan on getting back into one-on-one coaching in April. That was my original plan before I had the baby. And I'm proud of myself for saying, now's not the time. And I did press pause on that. And maybe I'll press pause on other things too. I will say though, I have so many good things planned that I'm like hopeful that I can make both work, but we will see. That's what's on my mind. And that was also the messy middle for May. My friends, thank you so much for listening and for letting me just be me here. I love spending this time with you. I love this community. And I hope that listening in on my messy middle gives you courage to move through your own messy middle today.